This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And he will be afraid to take a bite from that plate for the fear that his mother who was eating with him would like the same bite, and he will wait putting his hand on the plate just to pretend that he's eating until she's done with it. And they used to say, "What is wrong with you? Why don't you eat?" He said, "I'm afraid." يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد عباد الله اعلموا أن خير الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة كل ضلالة في النار. The title that I was given to speak about is Happy Parents. And I want to start with this story. I know most of you are expecting that I will say, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا and a similar ayat, which I should. But I just want to start with this story. The wealthiest man that I ever met, and I'm talking about a regular person, not a government connected person. I'm not talking about someone who inherits wealth just because he's a son of so-and-so. But I'm talking about a regular person who had nothing. Yet he is the wealthiest person that I ever met, a Muslim. And the unique thing about this man was he was there before me for Salat al-Fajr. He was there before me and anyone else for Qiyam al-Layl, especially last 10 days of Ramadan. He is there for every Hajj, every year. He will perform 4 to 6 times of Umrah, and sometimes he will go Umrah every single month. He's a man who devoted himself for the whole 30 days of Ramadan, that he will spend the whole month in the Haram al-Sharif. And I have seen with my own eyes, I have seen this man's business. I went to one of his factories, and I have seen trucks. Not a small, you know, pickup truck, but, you know, big trucks from one end of the street to another, lining up to load flour, rice, oil, food for the needy. And I said, "Haji, what do you do? What are you doing? Are you selling to a different country?" He said, "No, I devoted that I will donate this number of trucks every month, every day in the month of Ramadan." So I said, "Sheikh, tell me about your start. How do you start everything?" He said, "I had no education, no degrees, no PhDs. He did not graduate from Islamic University. He did not do any of that. He said, "I had nothing. I used to work as a server in the houses, washing their dishes, you know, cleaning the houses for them." And he said, "When I had enough wealth, when I got enough money for Hajj for 3 people, I quit my job. And I took my father and my mother to Hajj." He said, "Allah knows, I have nothing else." So I said to my mother and to my father, "This is all I have. And I want my beginning to be with you performing Hajj." So the both parents raised their hand in Arafah. And they said, "Ya Allah, bless our son. Ya Allah, give him the khair of this dunya and hereafter." He says, since that day, wealth was coming to him from every part of the world. People will come with him with wealth and say, "Why don't you invest this money for us? Because whatever you touch, takes off. So I said, Sheikh, what do you think is the success of your, that is the secret of your success? He said, my parents. And today, I want to tell you about a happy parent. And the blessings that you can get, bi-idhnillah, if you only manage to make your parents happy. I'm not equipped to give khutbah or lecture with qutra. It's too distracting for me. But Sheikh Mufti, mashallah, and Sheikh Saeed al-Qadi, they look good with qutra. I look distracted with qutra. So inshallah, stay with me. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala connected his ibadah, his act of worship, and being kind to the parent. And as Allah said, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ, Allah, your Lord, decreed, أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّهِ, that you shall not worship anyone other than He, and be kind to your parents. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah An-Naml, in a different chapters of the Quran, that the Anbiya, they used to make dua for the ni'am that Allah blessed them and their parents. And they used to make dua for themselves and their parents and their children. So I want to give you five things, and inshallah, with these five things, you will be successful being with your parents. First of all, don't you ever put anyone before your parent. Don't you ever put anyone before your parents. Not your wife, not your children, not your friends. Because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Sahih Muslim, he mentioned the three men who were captured in the cave. And one of them said, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. See, three of them were all stuck in the little cave. They can't get out. They can't do anything unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows them His mercy. So they say, why don't we make dua and ask Allah to release us from here through our good deeds. One of them said, Ya Allah, I had two parents, my father and my mother. And my sunnah, my culture was to go milk the camel or milk the animal, the goat that he had, and then do not give the milk to anyone before them. But one day he said, it took long for me to return home. So I came back and I have the milk with me. But my parents slept. And I hated to give the milk to them and to my children before them. وَأَنَّ أَبْنَائِي يَتَضَاغَوْنِ, he said, my children are grabbing my feet out of hunger. And I refused to give the milk to them before my parents, and I hated to wake them up from their sleep. And he said that when they woke up, I gave them that, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala released them from the cave. Remember hadith of a Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when a young man came to the Messenger of Allah, and he says, Ya Rasulullah, I worked hard for my wealth. Ya Rasulullah, I did so much for myself. Like he's saying, I built my business. I maintained my wealth. I kept it. I let it grow. And all of a sudden, my father was part of it. And then the Messenger of Allah, he looked at this young man who's so eager for Rasulullah to support him. And he said, you and your wealth belongs to your father. So the first thing that you do is don't put anyone before your parents. Always make sure that first. Second thing that you do, don't you ever disobey them. If they ask you for something, if they ask you to do a certain thing that is not involved with sin, not involved with ma'asiyah, then you cannot disobey them. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I'm sorry, in hadith sahih, in Muslim sahih, in Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu came to the Messenger of Allah. Umar ibn Khattab came to the messenger of Allah and said, Ya Rasulullah, I asked my son to divorce his wife, but he refused. So the messenger of Allah calls Abdullah ibn Umar. He says, why don't you divorce your wife for your father? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I love my wife. Why would I divorce her? Qala la, ati' abak. Listen to your father and divorce her. Which one of us, I ask you by Allah, which one of you, which one of us, all of us, would have a wife that he loves her? Not the one that he wants to get rid of her. No, a wife that he loves her. A wife that he cares about her. A wife that he says she's so beautiful. And then your father comes and he says, I don't want her, divorce her. And then you say, Sami'na wa ata'na, we hear and we obey, and when you divorce your wife. We don't do that. We don't do that, especially. This is must if the father is righteous. Because if the father is not righteous, then you don't have to listen to him according to Ahmad bin Hanbal. Because a young man came to Ahmad bin Hanbal and he said, Ya Imam, my father wants me to divorce my wife. What should I do? And he's asked about the condition of his father. And then the Imam said, don't divorce your wife. Then the young man said, what about Abdullah ibn Umar? He said, well, when your father becomes like Umar ibn Khattab, then you divorce your wife. If the father is not righteous, then why would you divorce your wife? We had a case in Canada, in the city of Toronto. In the city of Toronto, do we have Somalis here before I get in trouble? We have Somalis here? Only a few Somalis, mashallah. I'll tell you this, but don't kill me after I leave the podium. There was this father who came to his son, and we had to deal with the situation. And he said, Abo inantafur, dad, son, I wanted to divorce your wife. I wanted to divorce your wife. And he said, why? He said, because of these reasons. So they came to us because I don't think the son was convinced. And then he said, let's go to the imam. They came to me and then we got involved with this story. And I said, okay, why do you want to divorce her? She's a good Muslim, yes. Does she pray? Yes. Is she, mashallah, she observes hijab? Yes. She is a righteous sister? Yes. And I said, so why do you want her to divorce? He said, she is from a different race. She's from different race. Like what Abu Yudi, he's a different race. That is not a good reason to listen to your father. That is not a good reason for you to divorce your wife because she is from a different race, from different country, from different, no. But if he tells you to do something that is good, then you have no choice but to listen to your parents. Because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, إِنَّمَا طَاعَةُ فِي مَعْرُوفِ. We listen to somebody when they're telling us to do good. If they're telling you to do bad or to disobey Allah or to disrespect the deen of Allah, you cannot listen to your parents. If your parents is telling you, my dear daughter, today, mashallah, tabarakallah, so-and-so is getting married, your cousin is getting married, your sister is getting married, your brother is getting married, take off the hijab only for one night, or by mashallah, put makeup, just a little makeup. You want to keep your hijab, that's fine. But just put makeup. It's a night of joy. Everybody's going to be there. Just one night. You say to that person, no. Inni akhafullah. I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't care whether you're my father, whether you're my mother, whether you are my sheikh, whether you're my teacher, because that is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do. Because in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already said about the parents, if they ask you to do good, follow them in the interpretation of the ayah. If they ask you to do bad, then do not listen to them. And Allah said in the Quran, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ. Allah said in the Quran, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ, if they strive, if they struggle, if they do their best to make you disbeliever, to make you kafir, to disobey Allah in any different level, then do not obey them yet. وَصَحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا, be kind to them in this dunya. Because in akhirah, we're going to go different and separate ways. But in this dunya, be kind to them. So in this dunya, you cannot disobey them as long as they're asking you to do righteous things. Number three, give sadaqah and perform righteous deeds on behalf of your parent. Give sadaqah. Go to a masjid that is being built. Go to this, mashallah, organization that's collecting funds for Yemen, collecting funds for Syrians, collecting funds for others, and say, this donation is on behalf of my father, is on behalf of my mother. Give sadaqah on their behalf. Go to Umrah. If your parents are still here, and they're incapable to go with you for that year, for whatever reason, go for Umrah. Perform Umrah on their behalf. And say, Ya Allah, this is for my mother and this is for my father. That's how you be kind to your parents. That's how you do. Go and find one of these organizations and say, and sponsor a yateem who's trying to memorize Quran. Yateem. Who's trying to memorize Quran, and I say, Ya Allah, this is the sponsorship of that yatim. Not for me, but for my father and for my mother. And that child, you make sure that child memorizes Quran, because when he memorizes Quran, they will be rewarded for everything, and you also will be rewarded as well. Give sadaqah. Do righteous deeds. Do dua. Now, which one of us today, when we woke up, which one of you today when you woke up said, Ya Allah, whether they are alive or not, have mercy on my parents, whether your parents are alive or alive or not. Which one of us said, Ya Allah, forgive their sins. Ya Allah, you know, be kind to them. Ya Allah, give them long, righteous life. Ya Allah, make them from the companions of Rasulullah in Jannah. Because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا مَاتَ ابْنَ آدَمْ إِنْ قَطَعَ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثٍ. When son of Adam dies, his deeds will come to an end except of three. And one of them, when you leave a righteous child who will make dua for you. Who will be making righteous dua for you. Allah forgive him. Allah forgive her. And so on. But nowadays, subhanAllah, see, there's also a difference between the older generation and the younger generation. Younger generation nowadays, most of them, they don't appreciate their parents, let alone making dua for them. See, the older generation, subhanAllah, and I notice this across the country, whatever country that I go, it is exactly the same thing. You will find an older man saying, I hardly knew my father. I hardly knew my father. And he will say to you, I don't remember how my father looked like. There was no pictures. He was somewhere in different parts of the world, or he was busy with his tijara. But yet, that person who had that minimum connection with his parents, you see him making dua for them. You see him making, you know, giving sadaqah on their behalf. You see him, you know, always in the sujood, Allahumma ghafir li wali walidayya, always in the sujood. But you will find a lot of young people, millennials, a lot of young people, subhanAllah, their fathers are with them, their mothers are with them like a hawk. You know, they take them to games, football games, basketball games, whatever games. They take them to the park and play with them. They wrestle with them. They buy them ice creams. They take them, you know, with this place and that place. They do so many things for them. Yet, each one of them is saying, nafsi, nafsi, like it's on the yawm al-qiyamah. Nafsi, 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 me, 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 me. And I don't know what's wrong. Maybe, sometimes I think maybe nowadays we're giving too much of us and they had enough with us. I am one of the models, not of models, but I'm an example. I cannot remember my father in whole entire life. I would say more than three incidents. Three incidents. But today, if Allah asked me, give up your life for your father, I would. Not that he took me to a basketball game. Not that he did this and that for me. Not that he bought me a PlayStation or games. No. For the fact that he is my father. She is my mother. So what we need to do as young people, especially the young people, millennials, you need to be connected with your parents by making dua. The other four points that I will say to you, my dear brothers, before I run out of time and sisters, is the fourth point concerning your parents is to, and I don't think it's a redundant, but is try to please your parents. Not to listen, not to obey, not to disobey. Try to please them as much as you can. To please them. Make sure every single day you try to achieve that. Please your parents. Hassan al-Basri, he will come, rahimahullah, and eat on a plate. And he will be afraid to take a bite from that plate for the fear that his mother, who was eating with him, would like the same bite. And he will wait, putting his hand on the plate just to pretend that he's eating until she's done with it. And they used to say, what is wrong with you? Why don't you eat? He said, I'm afraid that I took something that she wanted and that will displease her. Hassan al-Basri never used to walk under, over a roof that his mother is under. Never. He used to say, I cannot walk over my mother. I can't. See, nowadays, kids, you rolled your eyes on your parent. You know, you say, oh, you know, whatever. You walk away from your parent. But Hassan al-Basri said, I would not dare to walk on a ground that I know my mother is underneath that. Out of respect. Out of respect, subhanAllah. When his mother used to call him, he used to turn red. Like the rest of the Salaf, they used to turn red. And they said, what is wrong? It's just your mother. He said, do you know how much Allah would be unhappy if I displease her? And wallahi, wallahi, thumma wallahi, I know people who took their parents to what we call seniors' homes. Seniors' homes. And they don't call them, they don't visit them, they don't ask of them. Rather, they only call them twice or see them twice. Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. Now, how do you think Allah will reward those people? When I was in high school, we had this old man who got injured in the civil wars back home, Somalia. And this old man, he had a broken arm. And he had sons and daughters with him. And then years later, 15 years later, I learned that the man had a heart attack somehow. And he lost a sense of a lot of things. And he also lost the ability to speak and the ability to take care of himself. And I say, where is he? They say he's in the city of so-and-so. His children, they throw him in one of those seniors' homes. And I decided to go with friends of mine and we drove there. And I can never forget this. I saw this old man sitting on a wheelchair and a young and another lady sitting, one of the nurses sitting in front of him, feeding him a baby food, children's food, feeding him. But he cannot see us. And when he saw us, you know, he started crying. But he not crying with a loud voice, but he was just crying. Tears were coming. And she could not understand why is he crying, because he saw us. And she's saying, "Are you okay, Muhammad? Are you okay?" And but he cannot talk, but he's looking over her shoulder. And then she took a tissue and she started wiping the food, because his mouth was also would not close, because when he saw us and the food was dripping from his sides and the tears were coming from his eyes, and she started wiping this. And then she said, "Oh my God, are you okay?" And then all of a sudden she realized he's looking at something else. And she said, "Oh, I thought something happened to him. He's just happy, perhaps he's happy to see you." So I said, "When was the last time his children came to visit him?" She said, "Since they dropped him here, we haven't seen much of them." Do you think Allah would be pleased with those children? Do you think Allah would be pleased with you if you do that? If you do that to them or to your parents? La wallahi. I will conclude with the last point. And I will say to you, my dear brothers and sisters, the last point is this. Be kind to the relatives and the friends of your late parents. Be kind to them. See, some of you, some of us, we think, you know, he used to be my father's friend. He is my father's cousin. He's my father's, you know, neighbor. But no, the sunnah, the birr, righteousness, is for you to be kind to the people whom your father used to love him, used to respect them. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu, who was riding a donkey, and he had his students with him, and they were walking next to Abdullah ibn Umar. And Abdullah ibn Umar, he saw this Arabi, a Bedouin from the desert, who barely has anything. And when this Arabi came, Abdullah ibn Umar, he got out of the donkey, he welcomed the man, he was so kind to him, and he said, "You know, what can I do for you?" Faqala ibn Umar, "May Allah reward you, I don't need anything." So Ibn Umar, he said, "Take my donkey for your journey." So he took the donkey, and then he said, "Take my over, you know, the bish, like the over garment of my thobe," and he gave it to him. And he said, "Take this money," and he took the money. And then he undid his turban, and he said, "Take my turban as well." Imagine, at that time, one of the Sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, walking with no turban. That's the last thing. So the man left. The student Abdullah ibn Umar said, "Rahimaka, ghafara Allahu laka ya ibn Umar, may Allah have mercy on you." He's just an Arabi. One little thing would have been sufficient for him. Guess what he said? Qala inna aba hada. He said, "The father of this was a good father of my good friend of my father." Not him. Not this man. He said, "His father was a good friend of my father. And I will honor this son because of his father, who had a relationship with my father." Now, wallahi, most of you young people, you don't even know the friends of your fathers. You don't know the friends of your parents. Boys, you don't know who is the best friend of your, who is the your father's best friend. Sisters, young ladies, you don't know. Most of you don't know. I shouldn't say all of you. Most of you don't know who are the best friends of your parents, who are the closest people to your parents. So if you want to make them happy, if you want to make them happy, then this is what you need to do, bi-idhnillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm running out of time, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all. Wa jazakum Allahu khair, wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.